Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dan?
I'm good. Am I also part of the frog?
The frog? Yes, you are the frog.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
Yeah,
got
buddy.
It.
Well, rock this and roll. Good
yeah,
morning.
I didn't know this
yeah.
was a function of Discord until this very moment.
Yeah, I guess Vanessa normally does this, but she asked for a variety of reasons for me to jump on today to help out. So, yeah, it should be pretty straightforward. I'm just going to ask you all some questions, and we're going to go through it, find out if we can get some deets on how 10-minute power hour goes.
Hell yeah. Or if I like you, I like your on-camera voice.
This is my same customer service voice, so thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like James Earl Jones.
Well, here's a question. What animal that came on the show freaked you out the most?
Oh, on the animal episode.
Yeah, the tarantula on my head.
Oh, really? Oh.
It was the tarantula. 100,000%.
No, really?
Yeah.
I don't think any of them freaked me out. I guess the spider a little bit. I don't know.
But like the tarantula, it didn't feel like, did it at least feel like a little comforting? Like it's a little furry?
Well, I think my outlook on it is that these people have them for like children. So it's like they're not going to, like none of them are going to be like, wow, like, oh my God, accidentally killed a child. Like it's just not going to do that. So I just feel very safe around all of the creatures.
Is her name Creature Christina?
I think
is
so.
Yeah, she was good at what she did, so she put us at ease.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, what food item do you regret? What food slash item do you regret ingesting the most? I like that they put the slash in there because it's not all edible.
Yeah, no, I just put stuff in my mouth. Well, regret? That's an interesting question, because the grossest is something that still hasn't aired yet. But
really?
Yeah.
Can you mouth it to me?
Yeah, it was a type of fish.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, yeah.
But
I know what you're talking about. That's rough.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, afterwards, I think the ramen one was really brutal. I immediately shit when I got home for like 3 hours and then passed out at like 5 p.m. and slept through the whole night. It was crazy, man. My body was like utterly rejecting it.
Just a sodium shutdown.
Yeah, truly.
Did you have to just like pound water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I did actually.
In one of the very early episodes, I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of like kid science kit. And I just remember, like, it was in my mouth for like a second. I remember the line. I don't remember what it was. But it was like, happy Halloween, boys and ghouls. You know, that's all I remember about it. But some kind of gelatinous, like, fake worm thing from the 80s that we made.
Does Dan sound on mic, by the way?
He sounds pretty on mic.
Okay,
pretty
good.
Close. It's also our friend, Zero Hearts, just let me know that I have forgotten something important. First question came from Mind Snot, and the second question came from Swing. So
thank you, Swing
you.
And Mind
yeah.
Snot.
Yeah, very cool of you both.
Well, let me see. This next question comes from Tommy the Game Boy, and the question's for both, and it is, who has been you guys' favorite guest on the Power Hour so far? It says, love you both. Thank you so much for all the years of laughter and comfort.
Favorite guest on the Power Hour?
Thanks for the nice compliment.
Yeah. That's a tough question.
It is tough.
Because they're all so good. But it's true.
I mean, Matt Mercer's very handsome.
Matt Mercer's
Matt was
way
great.
Up there.
Yeah. Matt really knew how to roll with the punches right away. I feel like Mika really got like a super good stride, and she was super fun. I think I really like Gina because she was willing to eat everything and loved it. which I feel like is like kindred energy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Shane and Courtney were also awesome.
Oh man, because, how do you?
Yeah, because a lot of these folks that we just mentioned are very used to being on camera. They have similar senses of humor to us. Many of them are longtime friends, so it's cool. It's just like hanging out with your friends, and it happens to be recorded, you know. So that's really nice. But I don't think we've had a guest that, you know, after they left, Aaron and I looked at each other like, oh,
whoops.
yeah, it's never happened. So we've been pretty lucky that way.
Yeah.
I know just around the office, Aaron, you were quoting Courtney regularly for a while after that episode. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was serving something.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not serving cunt.
Yeah.
No, I say that in my waking life.
Courtney's also a tremendous burper, like just an outstanding Olympic level belcher, and that's something that is very appealing to Aaron on a friendship level.
Yeah, that was great.
Yawn off mic, dude.
You can't hear me. I lean away from Mike to yawn.
Let's see. Extinct Bird asks, and this is for both of you, what was the worst Power Hour episode to clean up the war zone aftermath of?
That was the kitchen utensils episode.
That was
with the stuffed banana thing. That was awful.
Yeah, that was awful. That was nightmare fodder.
Yeah, I think the messiest the set has ever got was the paint one. Did that go up?
That has not gone up.
Oh, okay. We did one with paint. Yeah. We didn't clean it up though. So it's just still there. It's still on my shoes.
Yeah, my jacket has like some splotches on it.
That might be the one that got it on the lights, because a couple of our lights have like filters on them, and they straight up have a little Jackson Pollock spatter just right across them. I'm not sure if that's food or paint.
Pretty aggressive on that one.
All right. Yuzumi asks, what does a typical post recording look feel like? Do you feel exhausted or sometimes even sick after eating so many different things? Lots of love from Finland.
Is this like specifically a Power Hour?
This is Power Hour stuff. First of all, we love your country. We did a show in Finland and it was an amazing experience.
Speak for yourself, dude.
I loved your country. Helsinki was beautiful. And I went to Suomenlinna, the you know, army bunker castle island thing that you have to take a ferry to. It was awesome. I want to go back to Finland. Borf.
Yeah.
Buy me plane tickets to Finland.
sure. But only if I get to go too.
What was the question? Oh, they were like the refractory period.
Have we ever just been grossed out after a Power Hour, like from eating gross stuff? And yes.
Yeah. The Kit Kat and the ramen one were particularly bad. Just like full body tremors. But usually after the Power Hour, it's like pretty uplifting. Game Grumps can get a little exhausting sometimes because it's kind of a marathon. But the Power Hour is like very dense. So after you're done, it's like you have all this energy. It's like, oh, cool. I'm going to go run a mile. I don't know. I usually just get a coffee and pass out, but you know.
That, the looks on our faces after the Kit Kat and the ramen ones, those are not, that's not acting.
It's real.
Yeah. We were badly messed up. But because whatever you see on, like, sometimes we film for an hour and a half and it's only like a 15 minute episode. So whatever you saw us eat, you can multiply that by, you know, 10. And that's why we're losing our minds by the end of it. Good times.
Yeah. Good times.
I think on average, I see you guys like laying on the couch almost dead, slightly less than it used to be. So it might be that, you know, your bodies might be getting used to it. It might be like, you know, exposure therapy to all the weird foods.
It's like sports training.
Yeah.
It's like sports training.
Okay, we got one more question here. Actually, a couple. Actually, a bunch. Okay, so...
actually, 300 or 400.
Yeah, it just dawned on me. There's like hundreds of questions on this list. So Styx is asking, anyone still have the paintings from the paint pour video?
Oh, yeah. One of them's on the set.
Yeah.
Did we give those away?
I don't think so. I think since I also do cleanup around the set, I believe we still have a stack of them in one of the corners.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got rid of the iArt one.
Yeah, it seems like anytime you guys have actually done art, we don't really get rid of it. It just kind of goes and gets stuck someplace.
We should do the art show like we did with the fucking Pokemon thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should. That was fun. I remember that. Was that the yard sale that had like hundreds of people show up?
Yeah. No, that was not the same event. We did one where it was like a Pokemon Art Academy. There was the whole bit was like, you know, Barry and Ross were doing this regular Art Academy thing, and then on the box or on the website, you can render out the things from the DS in like high resolution. And then on the bottom of the website, it says, it basically like, I don't know, do your own art show, I guess. And we were like, all right, let's do that. So we fucking booked like an art space and had them on the walls and shit. And we're like selling prints. and we had this whole narrative where like Susie was the artist because like they were using Susie's DS or her cartridge. So like her signature was already in it. So every time they'd make a piece of art, it was signed Susie. So Susie showed up and was like, I'm the artist. I'm the one who did this. And Barry and Ross were the waiters. it was very funny.
That is funny.
Some of our finest extracurricular work.
All right. Let's see. I have some more questions here. Also, just a side note, since Alex is also listening, I'm slightly colorblind. So the color coding of these questions, I'm going to say it's a challenge, but I'm hopefully going to ask the right ones and not ask something that is one of the ones I'm not supposed to ask. So, Eska is asking, how many power hours do you guys shoot in an average day? And are the shoots structured to have the least impact on the next one or the most? That would be something that I think Vanessa would probably be able to answer a little bit better about the organization of stuff. But do you know how many you guys shoot on an average day?
Yeah, it's usually two. We'll do two a day, sometimes one. But yes, we will order them in such a way if there's a necessary something or other. Most notably, one that has not aired yet. We were doing some like bulk recording, and then we were gonna not record for like a month or two, and we saved that one for last because the power hour room needed to air out.
There were lingering odors that we knew would be the case with that one.
So look forward to that.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Oh, I think I remember the stench from that day.
Brutal.
The whole office was like, what the hell's going on down there?
Okay, let's see. Layla asks, have you ever done something for a power hour that's we've kind of answered that one, that's affected your ability to function for a few days? So something that had a lingering effect that went past just a day.
I mean, just inconvenient diarrhea.
Okay.
It wasn't like prohibitive diarrhea.
Sometimes if we do something really physical, I'll feel it for a couple of days. Like if you like exercise too much at the gym or something. Like after the pirate one, I was pretty jacked up, just because, you know, falling from great heights and trampoline stuff and like things that your muscles aren't used to doing, but theirs clearly are, you know. I think destroying the car, my arms were pretty messed up.
That's probably the only one where I felt it afterwards.
Yeah,
the car was pretty brutal.
All right.
It really kicks back.
Yeah. Yeah. Cars don't like to be destroyed.
Yeah.
They're fighters.
Let's see. It's surprising how many of these questions are just dedicated to food. I'm skipping through some
surprising
of them.
How many power hours are dedicated to food?
Yeah. I'm skipping through some of them. But one that I think we should ask, because we've talked plenty about stuff that's gross. Jesse asks, what is the best food you've discovered while doing the power hour and why?
Oh, bro. There's an episode that hasn't aired yet. But I tried Desayuno Típico for the first time, which is a Salvadoran breakfast. And that shit slaps so hard. Every time I'm in a specific area of LA, I always get it. I'm like, I'm here, I'm getting it. I don't even care if it's fucking dinner time, I'm getting it. It is goddamn delicious. It's one of my favorite foods of all time. 100% that.
What is it exactly?
It's just like a big breakfast plate with like a bunch of shit on it. So there's like rice and beans. They give you like, sometimes they'll give you like avocado and like pickled stuff. They know me now. So when I show up, they bring me like all of the vats of all of their sides and just like put it on the table. And like, here you go, fat ass. But it's like cream, and there's like farmer's cheese, and there's eggs, and they give you like pico, and the rice and beans is important, and they give you fried plantains. It's just like a huge plate of just like a bunch of fucking fresh, awesome shit, and it's so delicious.
I think the most pleasant surprise I had was the wheat cracker Kit Kats.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was very surprisingly excellent. There are occasionally ones like that, but you sort of forget sometimes because it's usually like one nice moment in an ocean of horror with those types of like try everything episodes. But that I remember being like, wow, this is one of the nicest like flavors I've ever tasted. And I did not see it coming at all.
Nice. Well, yeah. Kind of on that, this is a funny name to say. Weenie Jesuit asks, what's an item on set that brings up a fond memory that you might not expect?
What's a Jesuit? The word, right?
Yeah, it's the Bene Gesserit. It's a joke on Bene Gesserit from Dune, I think.
Oh, I see. What's an object that we look at fondly on the set? God, most things. I like the stuff that like is like perishable. Like if it's just like a toy or something, it's like, yeah, that just goes on the shelf. But if it's like some kind of goo or food, and then we just like leave it on the shelf and it just decays, that always brings me a lot of joy. I just find that very funny. Like over time, I wish I wrote down which episode it was, but like we did an episode where we put some goo on something, and then we discovered on the episode after it that like it had fully like dripped out during the filming of the next episode. And I haven't seen the footage of it yet, but you should be able to see it.
I think just David Cheeseman in general is amazing.
Oh,
because
beautiful.
I mean, that's like 5 years ago, you know, that episode, and it's such a classic, typical Power Hour thing where we each are handed a block of cheese and make like little cheese sculptures out of them, and one of them just you make it, we laugh, and then it gets thrown away or something or eaten, and the other one becomes worshipped like a religious object for the next, you know, 10,000 days. It's pretty special. So I mean, he's not out there because we did a later Power Hour where we scraped him and showed that there's actually sort of a brain eating fungus of some kind that's emitting from his cheese. So he's currently like in five concentric plastic bags wrapped up and stuffed in a closet until we can figure out what to do with him.
So if there's a zombie outbreak that happens soon, you know where it started.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, he survived COVID at my house, actually, because I was afraid that he would get thrown away or possibly melt. Yep. He was in my closet at my house, and then brought him back. My wife Sarah is very happy every time David Cheeseman comes up because it was like a little child that we adopted for a year, and then came back.
That's when he didn't smell so bad.
yeah. I mean, it's when you break him out now, it is like he's gone from like cheddar to Parmesan. Like there's a real funk. Yeah. Badsk Wall asks, the both of you are constantly switching hats between being music producers, live streamers, let's players, and judges on whether my Mr. Mine is smashable. What unique challenges are the toughest to overcome when switching?
challenges.
It doesn't feel challenging.
Yeah, it's fun for me.
Yeah, it.
I love going from thing to thing. I guess the only one that I can think of is with writing. When I write stuff, I can get pretty in my head about it. So that would be a unique challenge to that. But it has nothing to do with switching. I just feel that way about writing in general.
Yeah, I think a long time ago when we were starting our careers, it was tough to do different things because you had to start everything from the ground floor, you know? Like, you want to do everything, but then, like, it just doing one thing makes it harder to do the other. But now, like, we've been doing it for so long and everything kind of has its own engine that it's sort of just a matter of, like, waking up every day and being like, okay, you're doing this and you're doing this, you know? Like, I don't know. It doesn't really affect us very much anymore. Because in every scenario, we're still being ourselves, you know? It's just a different angle of ourselves.
I have ADHD, man. That's like baseline for me, is like switching between things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. I love that I have different things to distract myself from other things.
Does the is the switching from writing just because you're focused so hard? Is that why it's challenging?
No, I just get really self-conscious about like story structure and shit like that. So I think it's just because like it's probably the thing I have the least experience in. I think if I like released most of my writing is just like either for me or for like a studio. And then the studio work usually like becomes something different. So like, yeah, maybe it's just the track record that's like, that like bums me out where I'm like, man, nothing I've written so far has been like fully realized in its entirety. I think that might be that why I feel that way about that.
All right. Well, I know you work with Dan Harmon, so that was probably another example, since that guy's so obsessed with the story structure, like being around.
I mean,
him,
I would
be interesting.
Fucking, I didn't do any writing with Dan, so, but I would love to. That dude's a fucking genius when it comes to story structure.
Yeah. I have a question here for Dan, actually. Yeah. This is from Anthony, hopefully I'm not going to screw this up, Miley? M-I-E-L-E. Anyway, have you ever seriously felt that your life has been under threat while filming?
Not that I can recall. Let me think.
Whenever Cheeseman comes out.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty safe on set. You know, when we did the sword episode, we had a guy there to, as the second one of us lifted the sword weirdly, he'd be like, no, you know? So, I mean, and we're also like pretty careful about, you know, taking care of ourselves and each other. Like when I was younger, like in my early 20s and stuff, like in New York in that like underground comedy scene, like there'd be a lot more just throwing your body around on stage and like doing dangerous things. I've put my life on the line a couple more times for videos, like not now, but like in the early days I'd be like up on a roof just dancing, and you know, in retrospect I was like, what the hell am I doing, you know? There's one where I was like dodging cars that were coming at me early on, controlled environment of course, but still, like, you know, stuff you look back on and you're like, what are you doing, man? So I think we all feel pretty safe. We just get grossed out.
All right. Well, I know that you said that was just a Dan question, but I feel like we should ask you too, Aaron. Have you ever felt in danger on set?
some of the
I'm in danger.
Whatever food's like expired like more than 2 years.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe there might be an issue. But yeah, that's probably the only one.
Yeah, finding out we'd eaten an expired mac and cheese, it was a surprise. Especially since like we say this is 2 years old, like when we see the date. But it's 2 years after the expiration date.
Yeah,
so it's actually more like 5 years old.
Yeah,
it was that was a. There were some tense moments after that. in my kitchen. And bathroom.
I don't know. Behind the scenes, it was probably Magic in the Pool was the scariest one. Just because there was a big light that was right next to the pool, and we had to go through a whole thing getting that moved away. I was next to the power plug all day on that one, ready to yank it if anything started moving.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was I love that one.
Yeah, that was super fun. That's what got me into magic.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a nice day in the summer with your friends. And there's that lasting image of like the top down camera where all the magic cards are floating away off the table. That always makes me laugh. Just that image. I'm going to tap this and it just like drifts off.
Silas is asking, have you ever been informed of what you're going to eat on a power hour so that you could mentally prepare beforehand? Like, have you ever had one where you knew it was coming, or is it always a surprise?
It's always a surprise for Dan.
It's always a surprise for me. Also, let me just say Silas, one of my favorite names, because when I was a kid, there was a show called Pinwheel, which was like knockoff Sesame Street. And yes. They had Silas the Snail. Borf, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Silas the Snail?
Absolutely.
Oh, he was great. He's always like painting, but you see the back of his painting. And he's like working out the whole episode. And then like you see what he's been working on after an hour, and he's painted like one blade of grass because he's a snail. good Silas memories. And yeah, I guess... Shit, I forgot what the question was.
Have you
stuff that you didn't know?
Oh yeah. Well, that's why like it became a joke of like, what are we doing today, Aaron? Because I honestly don't know.
Yeah. I always know. There was a period where we were experimenting with the concept of us both not knowing, but then some episodes showed up where I was like, I don't like this one. So
yeah, we could have been told about this beforehand.
Yeah. So I approve each concept, and then I'll get like a cursory reminder on the day. But there's some days where I'm like, oh yeah, I think I remember that. And then we get some food items where I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But if it's like something that I think Dan might have an issue with, then I'll let him know. I'm not like torturing everybody.
yeah, and there's nothing like that. And Vanessa keeps it vague. So, like for the swords episode, if I asked, this didn't happen, but if I asked her, like, what are we, what's today's episode? She would say something like swords. That's how Vanessa rolls.
Yeah, with her very excited.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. She's the best.
Let's see. We've hit a half hour, but there are some more questions. I can ask you guys a couple more, and then it's just up to you guys how you're feeling it, if you want to keep answering questions or not.
Sure.
Okay. Allie is asking, what made you guys want to start 10-minute power hour originally?
So we did Good Mythical Morning, and... I think the first time we did it without them because they were doing like this summer.
No, we did it with them. The first day, unless this wasn't Good Mythical Morning, but like we did the What's Up My Sleeve with them.
I thought that was after summer one.
That was way early. Are you talking about the Luigi Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was after.
Okay. Well, anyway, we did Good Mythical Morning, and we were like their most popular guest. They told us like people were begging you guys to come back, or begging us to bring you back. And so there was this sense of like, oh, we're pretty good on camera. We should do something on our own. And then we basically just did Good Mythical Morning. But I mean, it's, you know, it's different. It's way different at this point. But yeah, it was just like a show where we're on camera at a table doing something. Honestly, it wasn't like, I don't think any of us really knew what the show was. We were kind of just figuring it out as we had concepts. I mean, the first episode is probably like the worst one, because it's like, I wouldn't approve that episode today, because as a concept, because it's like, it's too granular.
What, make Legos?
Yeah. And there's like a competitive element to it, where we're both like in our own worlds where we can't be interacting. That was a learning process, sort of figuring that out. I think that Easy Bake was like the most like, oh, okay, this is what the show is. Got it.
We filmed them on the same day.
Yeah.
The Easy Bake was second. And yeah, that was the one where like it got messy and crazy, and we were all laughing and still laughing about it the next day. And then it wasn't hard to see which track it was going to take from there.
All right.
And that's your story.
There you go. We have a question from Rear Admiral. What's the policy on the live studio audience? Is it just whoever is in the office that day and feels like it? Do people come in specifically for 10-minute power hour days?
No, that's it. The first one. It's whoever is in the office and isn't like, you know, doesn't have something enormously pressing to do at that moment and feels like it.
Yeah.
Which is why it's always different people.
There's sometimes where there's like no audience because everyone's working. So it happens. But yeah, it's just whoever's in the office. I feel there's a couple times where like, I don't remember what episode it was, but like Allie came back in.
Yeah, I think the episode, I think that one has not gone to air yet, but yeah, Allie came back in for one of them.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. A lot of people came in for that one because there was a lot of excitement about it around the office.
We're internally very excited about that one still. We're waiting for it to come out and just see how people respond.
Yeah,
I can't say what it is because, you know, it would give it up.
Oh, that hasn't gone up yet.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. A Giant Opal's asking, did you get to keep any of the swords from that 10-minute power hour?
Yeah, we kept all of them.
Yeah.
They were ours. We bought them.
We love them.
They're all, most of them are on the set. We use them quite a bit for other episodes because who knew? It's extremely useful to have swords in the office.
Yeah, that's true.
What is something that didn't make the extras on Patreon or the videos on YouTube, but is still a memory you would like to share? This is from Chris, spelled C-H-R-I-S.
I don't watch every Patreon cut, so I don't know, honestly. There's one that hasn't aired yet, so I can't really talk about it. That's a good question. I feel like there was one, and it was in my head when we were editing it. I seem to remember there was one episode. Sometimes the cut is more about flow than it is about like content. I remember there was one episode where we were talking about in the editing room where it was just a very like me heavy episode, and I was like, there's like two Dan bits in this. Like, can you cut out some of my bits and throw in some of Dan bits? Like, it feels weird. And then it felt a lot better after that edit. So, there's stuff like that happens. But usually that's for episodes where there's like, we're filming for three, like one of those list episodes where we try every Kit Kat or whatever. And it's like, realistically, every single thing can't really be in. So that'll happen. But you know, rest assured you are receiving the cream of the crop when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, I think probably just the on location shoots like Medieval Times and the blacksmith and you know, anytime we go somewhere, pirates, it's such a nice day and there's so many like happy moments doing it, that if you put them all in, it would be like a feature-length film episode, which would not have any, like Aaron said, flow to it. So just a lot of stuff gets cut that isn't particularly funny, but just reminds you of like, oh, I had fun that day, you know, that when we went to the arcade that the Karate Kid was filmed at, that was super fun. I just you know, it's almost like home movies in a weird way, like when we were kids and you know your uncle or whatever, there was always, in the 80s and 90s, people weren't recording things the way they are now. And so there'd only be like one member of your family that would have a camcorder, you know? And so you watch back the footage and it's just like a day at the beach and nothing's really happening, but everyone like waves at the camera and it's having fun. And you look back on it and you're like, man, that was a great day. And so that's the kind of stuff that doesn't make it into an episode because it would be boring, but is nice like on a personal life level.
Yeah, that's so true. One thing came to mind that's not Power Hour related, but I don't think I've ever shared it. Not that it's like a big deal or anything. We did a thing where I went to Wendy's, and they like finally let me in, and we talked to the chefs and everything, and it was awesome. But they brought us into the lab. And we filmed it, but we didn't air it because they felt a little weird about it. But they basically have like a flavor lab where they can just like chemically make any flavor that they want. And it was crazy. They were giving me like all these serums that it's like, this is 100% bitter extract. This is 100% salt extract. Like it was like, what the fuck? And you could like mix them to make like every flavor. It was crazy. So there was that got cut.
So any flavor from bitter to salt.
Yeah, well, because they asked not to have it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best reason not to.
I mean, it's not like, yeah, it's sort of on the fence because they were like, yeah, maybe not that one. But they did let us go in and film it. So I as a gray area, I don't know. It's like they're fast food. Like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a question here. I'm just going to ask it using the person's name because it makes me feel funny. Mistress, is there something that would absolutely cross the line or of we're never doing this on a 10-minute Power Hour, even if it was something one of you were semi-excited to do? So that came from Mistress.
Why would we be semi-excited to do it if it was crossed the line?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anything death-defying? I don't want to jump out of a plane or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple questions here. They're just like, is there anything that you guys would be like automatically no? Radley T asked the same thing, where they're just anything where it's like people come up with the idea and you're like, no, we're not gonna sit and set up blowing up car or something.
I feel like I'm like 10% more daring in the conceptualizing process, which I don't think has bumped up against anything, but for example, the life hacks where like you eat a banana and Sprite and it makes you throw up or something. I can remember hearing about that and being like, that's so funny. And then on the day being like, I don't want to throw up.
Yeah. And then Sam swooped out of left field and was like, I throw up all the time. We were like, what? Yeah, I wouldn't get into a tank with sharks. I wouldn't, I've got people who depend on me for, you know, in their lives. So like, I don't want to do anything where I could get badly injured or, die, frankly, to say it plainly. and I mean, with anything short of that, it's mostly just like, there's certain foods I'm like, I just don't want to. Like, I've had digestive issues for most of my life, and I'm just like, I just don't want to, like, feel terrible for days on end.
Yeah, that's been interesting the last couple times, because I'm vegetarian now, and I've been vegetarian for like half a year. So that kind of I've been wrestling with, like, because it's not I'm not like, oh my God, I could never ever again in my life. It's just something that I decided to do. So, you know, if we do a power hour, I've sort of been wrestling with, like, well, I guess I could film a power hour and just break it for that day for the show. But lately I just haven't been doing that. So there's that challenge, I suppose, that I quote unquote won't do. But I don't know if it's a good enough idea. Maybe I'll do it. I will say that the last time when I was like 2 months in and then I broke and I had something with meat in it, it completely fucked me up. So I don't want to do that again.
Oh, you lost the enzymes or whatever it is for it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's so heavy. That's the biggest difference, is like I don't feel heavy anymore. So when I had like a meat thing, it just like it weighed in my stomach so heavy. And it sucked, frankly.
All right. Well, we only have a couple questions left here. Mars is asking, which power hour tested your friendship the most?
Nothing tests our friendship.
It is pretty dramatic.
Yeah, shit's rock solid, baby.
Yeah, it's like the Mythbusters, dude, where we famously hate each other, but we work so well together.
Yeah, just one day I'm like, I'm out.
Dang it, the chemistry is so good.
No, I can't think of a single thing.
All right.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I just can't think of an answer. Can you?
Yeah, no, not really.
I don't think I've ever seen you guys actually fight in the office, to be
Yeah, it's
honest.
always
Like,
fun,
even
but not really.
I've seen married couples get into more arguments than you two do.
I mean, like you do a show with someone for more than a decade, like you can't fake the friendship, you know? Like you can't if it would, like Mythbusters, they did it for a long time. It's very impressive, but like at some point, like it would come to the surface, you know? So it's pretty chill between us.
I think we're also both just talkers. Like we'll talk about it and then be like, okay, and that's
Yeah,
the end of it.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Holding stuff inside is the worst thing, where like someone's doing something that annoys you and you just like seethe about it for like
Yeah.
7 years until you're like, why are you always doing that? They're like, what? So that's there's none of that. So if there's any testing ever, we just chat it out and that's it.
Okay. Well, let me ask. I think this one's probably, maybe we should do this one as the last one. It's going to be a combo question. This comes from Bobby Dinkers and Eagolivia
The
Raptor.
Dinkers.
Yeah. They're just asking, is Brian going to be a guest on the show? I love you guys. I love his energy with you guys. And the other one is just asking if Rhett and Link are ever going to be on 10 Minute Power Hour. Love y'all. Love y'all so much. Blessed gooning.
Rhett and Link have never been on the Power Hour.
No, they've been on Grumps,
Yeah.
and we've been on Good Mythical Morning. Yeah, I mean, if Rhett and Link doesn't happen, it would just be because like all of our schedules are so insane.
That feels like a season finale slash premiere.
It'd be cool. Yeah, I love those guys. We've known them for, like 12 years now.
Yeah, and as for Brian, yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like you could say anyone's name and it'd just be like, yeah, if the stars align.
Yeah, I mean Brian and I, obviously we're talking about Ninja Brian, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, obviously like we're talking and working together all the time on NSP stuff. So it's whatever. Like it, I'm always happy to have him on. He's the best.
Yeah, I think you guys should have Brian on. He's a fun guest. He's fun in person.
Yes.
You could do like a physics related episode or something.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. So do you guys have anything else you'd like to share or anything going on? I know, this is very open ended.
Oh man, things aren't going so well for me in the household. I guess I'll get into it.
Great.
Not really, other than that, like, there's going to be an episode that we alluded to earlier where, you know, it's a food episode, and it plumbs new depths of disgustingness.
It was the final episode that we filmed before we were, like, officially filming for season 3. You can tell, I mean, this is a little inside baseball, but the neons in the background. If we were filming for season 3, the neons are gone. Feels like Power Rangers. Like, we have our own, like, Power Rangers style lore.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you could tell if the Megazord does this one thing, then it's actually old footage.
Except we release everything in such a random order, it never ends up mattering.
Yeah. Anyway. So, before the break, episodes with the neons, that's before the break. So the last one before the break is this one, because it was so bad that we had to air out the room for 2 months.
Yeah, you'll know it because in the season 3 trailer, there was a very quick clip of one of our workmates, Jupiter, leaving the room because he was retching. He's like, and so when you see that, that's when you'll know this is the episode we're speaking of.
Great. Pretty awesome. Bad. That dawns on me. I should go figure out where those neons actually ended up, because they're not sitting in the room with me here. So they are somewhere floating in the building, or maybe you guys have them. I don't know.
Terrific. Hey, thanks for hanging out, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, Borf.
Yeah, thanks. It's been fun. Should be back to having Vanessa do these, and should be a good time. Thank you, fellas. And thanks to the audience. These are some great questions.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you later, everybody.
Kisses and hugs.
Take it easy, y'all.
Bye-bye.
I think we just click leave stage.
Okay.
Great.
Click the...
Everyone else is doing it.
Oh, I love that. I love disconnect quietly. It's like, I'm just going to go ahead and leave real quick. All right, bye. Have fun, everyone. Good day.
Bye.